This is the second in a 10-episode arc that I've dubbed Fixing Restaurants. I did something similar last summer. It was such a big hit. I heard from a lot of you that you loved it, so I'm bringing it back. This one is all about the things that could be better in our industry. Last time on in the first episode in this 10-episode arc, we talked about the sea of sameness. I think it's something that keeps all of us unsuccessful and unprofitable. Today, I want to talk about poor service because we like to say that we're in the service industry, we're in hospitality industry, but I find most restaurants I go to fairly inhospitable. So we're going to hit the problem head on. I want to really dive in deep. And then most importantly, I want to keep it positive, optimistic. I'm going to share with you the fix. I'm going to show you a couple of easy ways we can turn this around. Again, these are short, action-packed episodes, no more than about 10 or 15 minutes, so you can take it, digest it, and put it into play. Episode 2 of our 10-episode fix, all about fixing restaurants. Don't go anywhere. There's an old saying that goes something like this. You'll only find three kinds of people in the world. Those who see, those who will never see, and those who can see when shown. This is Restaurant Strategy, a podcast with answers for anyone who's looking. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. My name is Chip Close, and this is Restaurant Strategy, a podcast dedicated to helping you build a more profitable restaurant. Each week, I leverage my 25 years in the industry to help you build that more profitable and sustainable business. I also work with restaurant owners all over the country through my P3 Mastermind program. I also wrote a book. It's called The Restaurant Marketing Mindset. It came out last October. It's been a hit. We've already sold out, just about sold out the first run. We're in the midst of putting out a second printing. Did you know you can get that book for free? All you have to do is pay for shipping. $3.92 for anywhere in the United States. Yes, I know I've got a lot of international listeners. I'm so sorry. We checked it out. It's just absolutely insanely expensive. So if you're here in the United States and you want a copy of my book for free, it's $3.92. I will send it anywhere in the United States. That also comes with a free 30-day trial of our Restaurant Foundations program. This is a community with an online course, a resource bundle. You get an Ask Me Anything session with me once a month for an hour. You get a monthly masterclass every single month. Again, it's totally free for those first 30 days. So you can come in and check it out afterwards if you want to stay in. It's $97 a month. After that, we've got, 160 people in that community already, and it's growing. We add about 50 people every single month. So at the end of the free month, if you want to cancel, you cancel. If you want to stay with us, which I hope you do, you can stay with us. But at the very least, you can get the book for free. You just got to pay shipping. The way to do that is to go to @restaurantstrategy on Instagram and send me a DM with the word book. That's all you have to do is DM me the word book. We have an automation set up that will share with you the link where you can go and get yours. Again, totally free. You just pay shipping. I hope you go do that. The link to the Instagram page is in the show notes. We all know managing costs is one of the most important parts of running a profitable restaurant, especially these days. But between fluctuating vendor prices, waste, labor, and the never-ending list of tasks that demand your attention on a daily basis, it can be challenging for even the most experienced operators to manage costs well. That's where Margin Edge comes in. Margin Edge is a complete restaurant management software that automatically uses data from your POS system and invoices to show you your food and labor costs in real time. Don't wait until it's too late. Margin Edge gives you tools to make decisions in the moment, like a daily P&L, price alerts on key ingredients, and real-time plate costs, all without ever having to touch a spreadsheet. Take control of your costs, work more efficiently, and be more profitable. Learn more at marginedge.com/chip, and yes, you'll find that link in the show notes. Okay, so now we're talking all about how we fix restaurants. In order to fix the things that are broken, we have to identify the things that are broken. So it's a 10-episode arc. This is number 2, and I want to talk all about service. We're going to talk about the problem, and then we're going to talk about some solutions, right? Let's hit the problem head on. If we are in the service industry, we are in the hospitality industry, we have to be hospitable. We have to provide service. And I'm going to start here at where we're at now. I've been getting a lot of pushback recently from a lot of owners, a lot of operators who take real umbrage with the way the technology is going, with kiosks and apps and mobile ordering and all of this, the automations in place. And I think they're crazy. I think those things are great because I don't know that most restaurants are providing an experience. They're not necessarily providing hospitality. I think there are plenty of restaurants out there that are just providing efficiency, that are providing convenience. McDonald's is the easiest one that comes to mind, right? The drive-thru is easy and efficient, made more so now with the app and the kiosks that they've installed. They are the best version of themselves. Now, we can debate whether McDonald's is worthy of your money. That's not what this conversation is about. I'm saying if McDonald's is about being efficient and convenient, they are more efficient, more convenient than they have ever been in the history of this enormous, wildly profitable restaurant. So let's back up and say, if we are going to provide hospitality, if we want to hang our hat on that, then man, you better deliver. And I think there are plenty of places out there that do not. That pretend like they are, but they do not. So that's where I want to start. If you're going to do it, you got to do it. And I don't think you have to do it. I talked about this a few episodes ago, right? I think there's a bifurcation coming where restaurants are either providing convenience or they are providing an experience, right? And I think restaurants in the middle are going to have a hard time surviving simply because the cost of labor is going up, cost of rent's going up. Obviously, the cost of goods continues to go up, and it's harder to convince someone to pay what we need to charge for just something in the middle, right? So when we talk about being in the service industry, being a hospitality-forward concept, then man, you better put your money where your mouth is. What I find most of the time is people are poorly trained. They don't have hospitality in their bones, right? And they're not encouraged to have that. They're not encouraged to go above and beyond. So number one, you got to look for people who want to take care of people. You got to look for people who want to be nice, who like being nice, who are naturally nice. Nice is good. Nice, warm, gracious, hospitable. If people don't want to take care of other people, then why would you hire them to take care of other people? That's insane. So it begins, right? It begins by acknowledging that your people are not all good at taking care of people. Your employees, it has to begin there. When you go out, and I urge you to really pay attention when you go out, I find a lot of people just don't want to be there. And I get it. Sometimes a job is just a job. But sometimes a job allows you to go on vacation and pay for things like rent and a car, put your kid through college and all of that. I think it's a problem if those people who work for you don't respect what they are getting from you, that you have chosen them as opposed to lots of other people. Now, one of the problems, and listen, this problem wasn't invented during the pandemic. I think it's become magnified since the pandemic, right? We used to, fight for people with the restaurant down the street, right? People would interview at us and interview at the place down the street. And they'd pick one or the other. You know, we were in competition with other restaurants. But now we're in competition with not only other restaurants, but other industries. And that wasn't necessarily the case. I think that's good. I think it's going to get our workforce better. I think that's going to help us be more intentional about what we offer people and how we approach them with our jobs. But when people are not doing what you need them to do, it disrespects the people they're there to take care of, and it disrespects you and what you're providing for them, which is a job. And I know you know this. I'm preaching to the choir. I'm just saying it's okay to feel that way. I feel that way. You should feel that way. So right off the bat, I think you have to figure out whether you are the kind of place that is offering convenience, or whether you're the kind of place that's offering an experience, that's offering hospitality. McDonald's doesn't offer hospitality. I barely say two words to the people now when I go there. I order on the app. I go through the drive-thru. I give them my number, my four-digit code. They pass me my food. It's, hi, how are you? Thank you. Have a great day. That's it. And that's okay. I think, again, where McDonald's went wrong for about 40 years, and they didn't know this, technology just wasn't there yet to be able to give them the tools they needed to be really good at what they wanted to be. But I think asking people to be warm and gracious and hospitable at a register is insane. Their business is predicated on volume, or I should say the success of their business is predicated on volume, not on being nice, not on how we make people feel. So I think McDonald's has figured it out. Kiosks are more convenient. They're more user-friendly. We got shorter lines. The app is better. The app, combined with drive-thru, is a better, more efficient, more convenient way of getting McDonald's. Driving up to the first window at McDonald's, placing your order, them copying it down, telling you it's going to cost, tell you to drive around to the first window where you pay, and then you go up to the second window and you get your food. That's insane. It's wildly inefficient. Now, 30 years ago, that's all we had. We have better tools now, and McDonald's is putting in those tools. I tell you all that because you have to be really clear. You have to be really clear about what you're trying to provide. If you are running a bagel shop, perfect example. I got a bagel shop here in my town. Actually, I got two of them. One is sort of more about experience, strangely enough. It's a more curated list of offerings. Their menu is interesting. The bagels are all, you know, boiled there on property. It's like, it's handmade. It's hand done. The other one, a little bit, a couple blocks away, does like breakfast sandwiches. They got a griddle and a hood. First one doesn't. This one does. Right? So the second one, the one that offers the sandwiches and the hood, is wildly inefficient. Food's pretty good. Bagels are pretty good. But it's very, very inefficient. And they fundamentally misunderstand who they are. They are about convenience. And they've got a storefront, right? The storefront location that's very, very narrow and deep. You have to walk deep into the property to place your order, deeper to go pay and pick up your food. It's inconvenient. It's inefficient to do that. What they want is half the footprint and everything to be right up front. They need kiosks. They need an app. They need online ordering. So you can just order. They can just make food, put it in a bag, and send it out the window. They just don't know it yet. They're not gonna be there forever. Been there for a while. They're not going to be there for a while longer. I know it. I see it. When I walk in and there are eight people in line, I know it's going to be about 20 minutes. Straight up 20 minutes. Because they got two guys, they're making all the food and running the register. It's inefficient to have them put on gloves, make the food, take off the gloves, handle the money, ask what the next person wants, put on gloves, go make it, come back, take off the gloves, take the payment. You understand, you see it, right? They are not the best version of themselves. So the first thing you got to figure out is, what are you actually trying to do? Are you trying to provide food fast, conveniently, efficiently? Then just do that. And maybe hospitality needs to go by the wayside. Now, maybe you still need to be nice, polite, say good morning, say thank you. But maybe real hospitality isn't required. Hospitality meaning exceeding the guest's expectations, going above and beyond, providing something that they can't otherwise get elsewhere. The bagel sandwiches, I'm sorry, I can get a bagel sandwich in a lot of different places. If there was another place that was better, that was faster, I would go there. I have no loyalty to the place I go to. So maybe for a lot of you, you don't need to be in that true hospitality circle. Maybe you just need to do this convenience thing better than you've been doing. Again, this is the bagel shop, what they haven't learned, and what McDonald's very much has learned. It's what Shake Shack is learning right now in real time. They thought they were going to be in this hospitality experience place, and they have a brand new CEO, and he's doubling down on drive-thrus, smaller build-outs. It's not about the design, the decor, the cool whatever. It's about quick. Good quality, but quick. And this new CEO knows that. It's interesting to watch We're watching it in real time. This isn't something we really thought about even 15 years ago. It's very much something that technology is pushing us forward on. The new normal post-pandemic, that's pushing us forward on. And we're having to ask that question. Now, all of that being said, if you say no, for me, it really is about providing hospitality, providing great service, taking care of our guests, et cetera, then stick around because we need to talk more deeply about what that is and what you need to do. We're going to do that in just a second after a word from another one of our sponsors. Now, are you a restaurant owner or manager struggling to keep your team motivated and satisfied? Look no further than this helpful guide by 7Shifts, What Restaurant Employees Want, the 2024 report. The heartbeat of any successful restaurant lies in its people. But with the chaos of day-to-day operations, it's easy to lose sight of what truly matters, your team's happiness, your team's fulfillment. That's why 7Shifts went straight to the source, surveying over 1,500 active restaurant employees across North America to uncover what truly fulfills them in their workplace. You want to know the secret to building a thriving team? Interested in reducing turnover, boosting morale? This comprehensive report by 7Shifts has the answers you need. Don't let the stress of running a restaurant overshadow the importance of your team's well-being. Visit 7shifts.com/ccreport to grab your copy of What Restaurant Employees Want, the 2024 report. You can get that today. Invest in your team. Invest in your success. Again, 7shifts.com/ccreport. As always, you'll find that link in the show notes. So again, we're on the second episode of a 10-episode arc that I've dubbed Fixing Restaurants. There are things that broken, and in order to fix them, we have to identify the things that are broken. So that's what we're doing. We're coming up with the breaks and the fixes, right? So we talked about how poor service drives me crazy, and I think it's something that's really going to damage our industry moving forward. And the first thing I wanted to address was the fact that you may not need great service if you're in the convenience space. If you're just trying to provide a convenient experience for people, like McDonald's, right? Like Shake Shack is learning, then you just need to do that and do that better than anyone else out there, better than you've done it in the past. Now, the second half of this conversation is going to be for those of you that say, no, I'm really in the hospitality business, right? Exceeding the guest expectations, going above and beyond, and all of that's great. So here's the deal. The first thing you need to do is to improve your training, right? Your hiring and your training. Number one, you hire nice people, warm, gracious, hospitable, nice people, people who want to take care of other people. You hire people who don't care about taking care of other people, you can't train that into them, right? That's a Danny Meyer thing, the 51 percenters. Second thing is then you need to train them with scripts, if this, then that. Show them, give them the tools so that they can be hospitable, so that they can take care of people. Show them the ways of how you do it. That's how we take care of people, right? You hire for people that want to do it, you train the people to do it, and then you normalize it. You make it a behavior, a habit, a routine. We do this every day. Seth Godin talks about it, right? The most important 7 words in marketing has everything to do with culture. People like us do things like this. People who work here love taking care of our guests, and we do the following things to achieve that, right? Your job is then to simply dictate what the following things are they can do to take care of their people. That is huge. At every step of the way, you have to show them what they need to do or what they can do, right? It's not that we have to do it, we get to do it. And if you find the right people who actually want to make people's nights better, their days better, their meals better, then you get to show them all the great ways that they get to make people's day. That's a really powerful part of what we do. I know you know that. I know sometimes, though, it's easy to lose sight of that. But people come to us for something they don't need. They can go to the supermarket, get the food for much cheaper. They can just make it at home. But they're busy. They're overwhelmed. They lack creativity. They just want to be taken care of. And for all of those reasons, they come to us. What a boon. The industry that we have now did not exist like this 100 years ago, 150 years ago. Again, I've said this a lot over the last few weeks, but people used to go out two or three times a year. Now they go out two or three times a week between going out to restaurants and bringing in takeout and delivery. Two to three times a week. That's incredible. That means we are more successful as an industry than we have ever been. Next year is going to be the biggest year ever for our industry. But you have to hire for it and you have to train for it. You have to normalize being nice. You have to normalize going above and beyond. The last thing I want to say here is that you model that behavior and you coach people. So you show people how it should be done. And then in real time, it's not just you talking at people at the pre-shift meeting. It's not just you writing a quote on the wall. It's about modeling the behavior, showing them through your actions, through your behavior, and then coaching them in real time. When you see an opportunity that they missed, going over, pulling them aside and say, hey, I just wanted to touch base. That I overheard that conversation and that would have been a really great opportunity to do the following thing. Or, hey, you know what, next time, if you're ever in that kind of conversation, I would suggest this, or I would just go and do that. So you hire for it, you train for it, you model it, and then you coach in real time every single day, day after day after day. You work with your team works with the line level employees, right? So you train your managers work with your servers, your bartenders, your hosts, your whatever. That's how we build a culture, we fortify it. When we talk about servers and bartenders, for example, or hosts for that matter, there's a certain amount of knowledge that they need. They have to know the product that they serve, the food, the wine, the beer, the cocktails. They have to know the restaurant, history of the restaurant. They have to know something about the people. We have to understand why this place matters, because it matters a great deal to the customers who are spending their hard-earned money. And we want to be able to explain to them why it matters that they chose to come here. At the end of the day, that's really what people care about. Why am I here? Did I make the right decision? Should I come back? Should I send other people here? Again, you hire for it, you train for it, meaning you teach the people that they what they need to know. If that's servers, that's menu descriptions. That's bartenders, that's drink lists. It's wines by the glass. People need to know how to talk to guests. They don't know how to go above and beyond if they don't know the tools that they have at their disposal to go above and beyond. You hire for it, you train for it, you model it, and you coach it. We can get better. There's a whole subset of restaurants that don't need to get good at this. And hopefully some of you are listening and this resonates with you. The McDonald's, the Shake Shacks, the whatever. Right? Think about Chick-fil-A with the people out with clipboards or iPads out in the drive-through line. That's not to be nice. That's to be more efficient. That's to get people's orders earlier so that they can fulfill the orders quicker and get more people through the line, because they know the more people they get through the line, the more revenue they generate, the more profitable they can be. Now, are the people polite and nice out there? Hey, how you doing? Yeah, sure. Sometimes. But that matters less than putting the system in place to help it be more efficient. For a whole lot of you, that's all you need to do. You need to get better at being efficient. But for everyone else, if you want to be in the hospitality industry, I'm sorry. Most of us aren't that hospitable. Most of the restaurants I go to, the service is pretty poor. Nobody cares that much. Happy to charge me $42 for something, for an entree, without all the other stuff that has to back up an expensive meal like that. That's what you have to do. If you say, yep, that's what we're in the business of making memories, of exceeding guests' expectations, right? Fine, great. You hire for it, you train for it, you model it, and you coach. That's how we begin getting better restaurants, better service, more hospitable restaurants. That's what I wanted to talk to you guys about. Again, one final reminder, I wrote a book. If you want to get my book, you can get it for free. You just pay shipping. This is available to anybody in the United States. You do that by going to our Instagram handle, @restaurantstrategy, and you just DM us the word book. There's an automation that will pop up that will send you the link to go and get that book that grants you free access as well to our Restaurant Foundations program. It's free for the first month. So you get an online course, resource bundle, a couple of master classes, an Ask Me Anything session. It's an incredible resource. You get that free for 30 days. If you want to cancel at the end of that, fine, you do that. You just email us. All those directions are in there. If you want to stay with us, it charges $97, the regular price, $97 a month, every month after that. Again, we've got over 150 members already enrolled in that program. I hope you come check it out. And again, even if you don't end up keeping that membership, totally fine. You get the book for free. You just have to pay shipping. Do that. That link is all in the show notes. I appreciate you guys very, very much. I will see you next time.